melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low, fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife, discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stir the stumbling chords again. Jesus, 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 the sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Of his grace, resting neath his sheltering wings, always looking on his smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 the sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 the sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 the sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. On the starry skies, I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 the sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Jesus, 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 the sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Hallelujah. What a song. And I love it. I hope you love it as much as I do. You know, we serve a God who is just on top. I mean, it is wonderful to have a God like we have and to know his faithfulness. It's a joy to bring you this telecast today. It's going to be a great subject. I really want you to get in the middle of it with me. Now listen to it. Here's the title, John, Saul, the Church. As seven golden candlesticks. John saw the church as seven golden candlesticks. And you know, walking in the midst of that church was the resurrected, glorified intercessor, the Lord Jesus, our high priest, and he was walking among the candlesticks. He was walking in the midst of his church. Now, when you talk about a church like this, you're talking about a dynamic church, and you're talking about something marvelous and something blessed. Now, we're going to talk about some of the things that we can sense today that's kind of out of culture in the church. We're going to talk about some of the doctrines that have invaded the ranks of the church. We're going to talk about some of the preachers that are called these special men in the Bible in the church. We're going to look at the church in Revelation 17, the great whore church. I mean, we really have some breathtaking things to look at. And every one of you, if you're born again, you got to have a church. The Bible said such as were saved was added to the church daily. So you have got to have a church. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and so much more as you see that day approach. And he added in there, as the manner of some is. And I would say, as the manner of a lot of people are today. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. As the manner of some is. Listen to me. The house of God is the place of joy to a born again Christian. When you have walked with Jesus, when you have loved him, and you do love him, and you serve him, you just want to go to church. You want to be with saints. You want to hear the word of God preached by an anointed man of God. I tell you, let's do something. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Let's go to the book of Revelation, and let's see what Jesus actually saw. I mean, this is a vision of Christ. Remember verse 10 of Revelation 1. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And he described the Son of God, the resurrected Christ, the resurrected Lord. But then as he moves along through those scriptures, and you ought to read them often, go to verse 19. Write the things which thou hast seen and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Now listen, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand. So the Lord's talking to John. And he says to John, the mystery, I want to give you the mystery of the seven stars which you saw, which John saw. Now this is a vision, and John saw it. It was a drama. The angels just conducted this drama in front of John, and he saw it all through the book of Revelation. Remember last week, we talked about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in the book of Revelation, and 33 times you see the Father, 27 times you see the Son, and 23 times you see the Holy Spirit, and always they are distinct persons. Never are they the same. They are three members of the Godhead, one God, but three personalities in that Godhead. And that was a picture, buddy. That was a picture. I had people to say that was the greatest radio program I've ever done that they had ever heard. And that thrilled me. That thrilled me for somebody to say that, because it was a good program. I don't take no credit. I don't want any credit. The Lord gets all the credit. But I want you to see this next verse, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Now, we got to look at that word angel. It comes from a Greek word which is spelled A-G-G-E-L-O-S. Now, if you'll go to it in the Greek, go to it in your Strong's Exhaustive Concordance and look at the meaning of that word. And it means a messenger. It means an angel. It means a pastor or a messenger. Well, I said messenger. A messenger, a pastor, or an angel, or all three. So he really is talking about the ministers and the pastors of the churches. And he said he held them in his right hand. Now, these preachers today, you know, we talk about the seven golden candlesticks. Where is the gold in today's church? I'll tell you where it's at, in many cases, in the preacher's pocket. in the preacher's pocket. And any preacher that will allow the church to make him rich, and he wants the gold of the church, he's in trouble. He's in deep trouble. He's lost his way somewhere along the way. A man of God doesn't want to be rich when there's people in Haiti that don't even have food to eat. And there's people in Africa that are starving to death. When there's people in Puerto Rico, for instance, who are in great stress and great despair. How does a preacher live in a $1 million mansion and have all this money that came from the church? Now, if he works and he wants to dig ditches or sell cars or do something and make some money, and he gets rich making money on his own back, that's his business. I don't care about that. That's up to him. But when he lets the church make him rich, something is bad wrong. Are you listening to me? It won't happen to this pastor. I can tell you that right now. Don't want it to happen. I'm going to put everything I got back into the church. I don't want to take everything the church has got and put it into me. I mean, that's the difference of being held in the hands of the Lord. He said, the Lord said, I hold them in my hands. I hold them in my hands. A real man of God is surrendered to the Lordship of Christ. He doesn't allow nothing to direct him and dictate to him the way of life except the Lordship himself. And if he's got a good wife who is truly, truly a godly woman, she'll give him to the things of the Lord. She'll not ever try to pull him away from his prayer life or his devotion life or his dedication life. She will want to give him to the things of the church. And this is a good time for me to tell you, my wife was that kind of a lady. She was one godly woman. Now, I want everybody who has Facebook to go after the program is over. Now, not now. Don't you do it now. You're listening to this program. But after the program is over, I want you to go on Facebook, on my site, Joseph Chambers. Joseph Chambers. And you will find two pictures of my wife and I on the day of our wedding at the cake cutting. And you'll see us giving each other a bite of cake. I don't know whether they do that today or not. I don't think I've seen that lately. But back then, we were asked if we would feed each other a bite of cake at the beginning of the cake cutting. And we gladly did it. And you go and look at the face of my queen, my little lady. I wept so much when I pulled that picture out and got it on Facebook, because it just thrilled me, because I saw the love in her face. And you're going to see love in my face for that little lady he gave me. And I want everybody with Facebook, and I want you to share it so it goes everywhere else, because I want to promote love between men and their wives. If you are a husband, you are married, treat her like Jesus. So, like Jesus loves the church. I'll get it out here. The book of Ephesians. Let me read it to you. Can I? Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. Love your wives. You are an example of the love of Christ for his church. A pastor in the congregation before his people, preaching, leading them, guiding them, caring for them, praying for their sick, visiting them in the hospital, being a godly man in his community, knocking on doors all over his community. I want to tell you, a real man of God will love his wife even as Christ loved the church. Or you say, if I love my wife that much, I might take away time from the church. She won't want you to if she's a godly woman, and you won't want to if you're held in his hands. If you're held in his hand. Isn't that beautiful? What a picture. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Gave himself for the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing, but that it should be without blemish. Without blemish. Man, what a church. Man, what a church. Now, that's what we're talking about today, is Christ walking in the midst of his seven golden candlesticks. Now, understand the number seven. That is an all-inclusive number. and all-inclusive. That means the church world. That means the church ages. That means all seven churches, all seven periods, all hours from the day the church was established until the day the bride goes up in the sky. When we go up in that rapture, the church is over. When we go up in that rapture, the church is over. We will ascend before him in the sky. Oh, that's the church. And he said that he loved the church. And he said, you are to love your wife even as he loves the church. Okay, listen to me, fellas. Listen to me, men. Quit being whims. Quit treating your wife like she's some piece of dirt that you can walk over, or like she's something you can just twist in any kind of an old way. And listen, don't get involved in this dirty sex world that many husbands and wives are getting involved in today. Sodomy in the marriage is just as much sodomy as sodomy between two men or between two women. Now, I tell you this with all due respect to the Holy Book. It's time to live godly and pure and righteous. Now, let me go on and read that whole verse again. Now, listen, the mystery of the seven stars, which thou saw in my hand, my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. Now, listen, the seven stars are the angels, are the messengers, are the pastors of the seven churches. The stars in his hand. In his hand. There are nowhere but in his hand. If you're not in his hand, go get your job selling cars. Go get your job digging ditches. Go get your job running computers. But don't claim to be a pastor if you're not in his hand. In his hand. He is Lord of your life. You are his messenger. And all the responsibility you will bear when you stand at the judgment, having said to somebody, I'm a God called man. I'm a God called minister, and you haven't been God called, or you don't treat it like a God calling, then you're going to be in some kind of trouble. And I just wouldn't even want to be a preacher if I can't be the right kind of one. Now, let me read on. The seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now, you again remember, seven means all inclusive. Seven is not a limited number. It's an expensive number. It's a number that knows no end, that goes all the way, all the way, all the way. Now, that's the church that Jesus saw. That's the church that Jesus saw. And that is indeed a beautiful picture. I hope you love it as much as I do. I've loved the church. And I will always love the church. In fact, if I didn't love the church and love Jesus, I wouldn't want to stay here with the death of my wife. I would want to go on. I absolutely have no interest in living except for the church and except for my Lord Jesus Christ and my dear family. Those are the things that keeps me here, and they will keep me here because they are imperatively important to this old man. This old man. I don't mind saying that anymore, but I'm telling you what, God sure is good to me. God sure is good to me. Now, there's so much to talk about when you talk about his church. Where is the goal? Where is the goal of today's church? The goal, notice, he said the candlesticks were of gold. He didn't say the angels in his hand or the stars were gold. Remember, the stars don't get the gold. The church gets the gold. The gold belongs to the church. It don't belong to me, and it don't belong to you, preacher man. And you better get it out of your pockets, and you better get it back in the church. Get it back feeding the poor. Get it back caring for people in many parts of the world that have basically nothing. The church is to be a missionary-minded church. If you're not missionary-minded, you're not a New Testament church. In fact, you're not even a church. You're a club. You're something beside a church. A church is missionary-minded and missions-minded and souls-minded. We care about the unsaved. We care about the lost. I've got a dear man that started preaching now on Main Street uptown. I plan to go up in the next, maybe even today, to be with him a while and to preach a little bit. I love to preach on the street. I love to preach in prison houses. I love to preach anywhere there's an open door, and I've got a longing for it more than ever before. So where's the goal? The goal is the church, to be in the church, to be the purity of the church, to be the richness of the church, to be the royalty of the church. There are many reasons the church is called gold, and it's not just money. I promise you, it's not just money. The church is a royal institution. We are a royal priesthood, the Bible said. And the church is to have the sufficient dollars to do its business and to do it well. And thank God for the blessings he's putting on this church right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. So the preachers must not be the ones possessing the gold, okay? You need to make sure that doesn't happen in your camp where you are a part of the church. And if it does, then get out of it and don't put your money in it. Okay? Now you saw the preachers and you heard the angels and you heard me give you the translation of the word. I wasn't giving it my own interpretation. I took it directly out of the language of the Greek that this Bible, this New Testament was written in. I took it right from where it belonged. And I'm here to tell you, you can believe it when I tell you something of this nature. No ifs and ands about it. Now, the seven golden candlesticks represent his church in its entirety, his whole church world, and I'm proud to be a part of his church. There's many things. Now, in the second and third chapter of Revelation is a picture of these seven golden candlesticks. Seven churches, seven golden candlesticks. This covers the whole church dispensation, the whole church spirit, from then until the future when the rapture occurs. And everything in those seven letters ought to be understood by the church. There's some don'ts and there's some do's. There's some things we must not allow to happen. There's some things that must happen. You'll find in these seven churches, the ones that get commended is they were dedicated to pure doctrine. They would defend the doctrines of the Bible with their life. We live in a day when doctrine don't mean a hoot to most preachers. Most preachers are not concerned of how pure their doctrine is. And they'll have fellowship with any kind of old doctrine in the world and go after anything. Well, the true church has a dedication to the purity of the Bible. The Holy Scripture is the very foundation of everything the church is and everything the church represents, and we belong to that. Now, let me go ahead and open the lines as I talk, because the lines are open, and you can call 704-391-0588. Let me put up that number. I think my lady is here. Whoever's here, please open the door and just look in here so I make sure that they're here. You know, sometimes since Mama's gone, I got some people taking it over, and my folks are coming a little bit too late, and it makes me nervous. Well, nobody's, hey, there, thank you. Thank you. Oh, yeah, I got somebody here. That makes me nervous. I know they're going to take care of it. I shouldn't get nervous, but you know, when you've done this as many years as I have, and you always depended on Juanita, you know, you still want to depend on Juanita, but these ladies are just as precious as they can be, and I am grateful. And here's the number. I want you to see it. I'll call quickly. They're ready to take your questions and put you online to talk to me. Let's talk about the church. Now, in a few minutes, I'm not going to do it yet, we're going to talk about what we see as false doctrines in the church, and I want you to help me. I want everybody out there to help me. I want you to call and tell me, here's something I've heard. What about this? And we'll try our best to look at them biblically. I'm not here to judge people. I'm here just to keep truth pure and plain, and not to allow it to the church to vary from truth. And if I see something that has no business in the doctrine of the church, I'm going to talk about it, even scream about it, because I am concerned about the church. Now, you got the numbers, okay? 704-391-0588-1-800-338-7884. Now, anywhere in the world, we've got our email working right now. I think I can read it. So you can use the email, jrc@paulcreek.org, okay? I will go there in a few minutes and take a look and see if there's any emails. I want you to have your question answered, because I'm concerned about the church. I am burdened for the church. I'm burdened for the purity of the church. I mean, the old-timey preachers like John Wesley and all of those great men, they were so committed to the doctrines of the church, they would die for the truth. They would gladly give their life. How many thousands of Christians were burned on stakes by fire, by the Catholic system, because they stood for the truth of the Bible. They stood for the truth of the Scripture. Oh, friend, you ought to be willing to die for the truth. Right there in your local church, you ought to be willing to die for truth. And you ought to not give your money in a church that has left off the doctrines. It's sad when people will keep pouring money into a church that isn't even preaching the truth, isn't even declaring the great doctrines of the Bible. And I beg of you not to allow that to be true in your church and in your church life. It is imperative. I mean, important beyond degree. I don't even know the right words to say to tell you how important it is that you keep the pure doctrines. They are so important. They are so important. Now, call us quickly. Let me go on here with some things I want to remind you of. Now, what are some things that you see the Lord telling that seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3 to beware of? Number one was the loss of first love. He said to them, and this was the church at Ephesus, you have left your first love. Now, how do you describe that? What does the Bible mean when it say you've left your first love? All right, let's think. When you first got saved, I mean you really got saved, and you fell in love with the Lord, you were so excited about the kingdom, the church, the work of the church, you wouldn't miss Wednesday night, you wouldn't miss Sunday night. You was ready to start paying your tithes. You'd go out and knock on doors and invite people to church. God bless you, invite people to church. And you just love the church. You just love the church. And that's a beautiful thing. That's where it ought to be. And all kinds of things you did and all kinds of devotions you had. And you loved it. But then you started cooling off. And you started missing Wednesday night. And then you got too busy for Sunday night. And you quit going on visitation. And you would pay tithes sometimes, and sometimes you wouldn't. And bit by bit, you just got colder and colder. That means you have left your first love. And I got calls coming in big time here, so I got to get with it. Give us a call, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Let me take a call, and I'll come right back, because I don't want to miss nothing. Well, wait a minute here, line one. Let me see if I can get line one. Line one, you are on the air. May I help you, please? Hey, line one, where are we at? I had lost her, and I guess she's calling again. I don't know what happened. How did that go? Hey, I want to hear from you now. You're important to me, very important, and I'm ready to answer your question and do my best to help you understand what we're saying. Now, when I answer, you speak up so I'll know you're there, okay? And we're going to have a great broadcast together. I promise you that with all of my heart. Let me see now. I believe I have the right number. You are on the air. May I help you? All right, I'm not there yet. Well, we'll get there in a minute. So give me a little time here. Call us quickly. We want to help you. We want to talk to you. And remember now, that first love, that's very important. If you've left your first love, the Bible says that he's going to remove your candlestick from your place. He is going to remove your candlestick from your place because you've left your first love. Are you hearing me? Let's see now. I can get this call. You are on the air. May I help you, please? Well, for some reason, I'm not getting them. I don't know what the problem is. Be careful in there and let me know. And we'll keep trying till we get it figured out, okay? Sometimes my old phone will act crazy. The devil don't always want me to answer your question. Now, the next thing about the church. And there's so many things in the Bible that talks about what the church gives up, what the church leaves. The next thing I see is the presence of Jezebel, the church taken over by a Jezebel, the church taken over by a Jezebel. Well, study the Bible. What does Jezebel represent? She represents worldliness. She represents a careless lifestyle. She represents a worldly conduct. She represents dressing and acting like the world. She represents dominance, control over the men. I remember in the Church of God, when they were debating ordaining women to be pastors, ordaining them. Well, I knew that wasn't biblical, and I took a strong stand, but nobody paid me any attention. But I'm sure there's some that did. I shouldn't have said that like I said it. Most of them, the big wigs didn't pay me any attention. But we live in a day when this is true of so many in the church world. They really don't care. Now, that call didn't come through. I don't know what it was, somebody playing with us or what, but please call back and let me try to help you. So Jezebel has no place in his church. Do you understand that? Jezebel has no place in his church. And we're in a day now of double married ministers. Ministers with two living wives. Ministers with two living wives. That's just so totally contrary to the Bible. It isn't even funny. And some people will try their best to say that means one at the time. Well, if he'd have meant one at the time, he'd have said one at the time. That kind of interpretation of the Bible always gets my goat. It really does, because it's so far off and so crazy. But we live in this day. Neither hot nor cold is another thing about the church. Not being faithful to the doctrines of the church. Many different things. Control of the church by hierarchy, by people in ivory towers who run the church, instead of the church being an instrument of godly men and godly people who love the Lord with all of their heart. Well, there's so many things there. And you need to read Revelation 2 and 3. That will open your mind and give you a real grasp of what to reject and what to receive in the church world. Those two chapters is absolutely God's regulation for his church. Now, let me open the lines again. I want your call. I really do. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And then the toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. I'm going to run right quickly here to my email and see if I might have any questions there. Okay. Don't see anything. Let me make sure. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let me take this call. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Brother Sambers James here. Got a question for you.
Okay, James.
Hey, brother. Good
talk to you. I believe you're James Croak, right?
Yes, sir.
Down east. Yes. I love you, Brother James.
Love you, too, brother. I'm going to ask you this question in the hopes of helping somebody else in the audience there. 1 Timothy 3.
1 Timothy 3.
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
You talked about the man designed the office of a bishop. That would be the husband of one wife.
Yes, I just mentioned that. Did you hear me?
Idea. That's why I'm calling you back on the road, traveling, and I'm tuning in to you.
Okay.
So many of you, and Brother Chambers, you know where I stand on this.
Okay.
Some are using that word bishop, but we don't, he's pastors, overseers, but God don't have a double standard. God's got one standard. He don't have a double standard.
An ordained minister is an ordained minister. He may be just a little guy pastoring a small church in the boondocks. Or he may be a general overseer or a state overseer. There's no difference in those levels. The same is true for all levels of a man ordained to preach. If you're ordained to preach, you cannot have two living wives.
Amen. I totally agree.
Well, it's just, now give me the scripture and let me read it from the Bible. What did you have?
I'm on the road. I'm going by memory. That's dangerous. 1 Timothy 3, verse 1.
1 Timothy 3. And verse 1, okay, let me go. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless. The husband of one wife. The husband of one wife, sober, of good behavior, given the hospitality. Given the hospitality. Apt to teach. Not given to wine. No striker. Not greedy, listen to this, not greedy of filthy lucre. You know what that means, don't you? That's money.
Yes, sir.
Not guilty. I said a while ago, the church is to be seven golden candlesticks, and the ministers are in the Lord's hands. He didn't mean for the ministers to have the gold. He meant for the church to have the gold. He didn't mean for them just to build fancy buildings, but to minister to the world.
That's right.
So he says very clearly, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his own children in gravity. And so that's a great statement. Anybody out there, you read that, 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, and it will make it plain. No anointed man can be anointed to preach and fill the pulpit who has two living wives. If he does so, he is an abrasion to the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Thank you, sir.
Love, brother.
I'm so glad you called, okay? Give us a call now, whoever you are, wherever you are. I want to hear your question. I really do. I don't see any on email. I'm trying to get back to using the email and making sure I don't miss anybody, okay? So if you want to email me, jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. I want to hear from you. You are important to me, and I want to hear from you, okay? So grab your phone and let me have your question. Now, I'm trying to make sure I don't miss anything. There's so much in those two chapters, of Revelation 2 and 3. Things that the church must be careful of. Doctrine is at the root of it. Faithfulness in the ministry of the kingdom is at the root of it. No big hierarchy powers rule in his kingdom. Remember how they took our building on Tucker's on Little Rock Road worth about $4 million, and we built it and paid for it. I was the architect, the contractor. I was the carpenter. I worked like one. I mean, I worked with all I was able to work. My church did too. And then they took it from us because they were rulers over it as well. You see that in today's church world. You see it everywhere. You really do. And believe me, it never pays for those people. They will always have to give an account for that kind of stuff. And there's no way around it because God will hold them accountable. So read the second and third chapter of Revelation. Give you a tremendous picture. Now, before the time gets away from me, let's go to Revelation chapter 17. I want to give you a little picture here of the end day church. Right now, we are seeing a church develop that is the worst you can imagine. You know what somebody showed me Thursday night? They showed me a Pentecostal church that was having church in the dark. Having church in the dark. Nothing lit but the stage because they want everybody out there to be subject to whatever's going on up there on the stage. And they cut the lights out. And in this case, they were wearing some kind of lights around their neck. And I know these people. And all I know how to say is they've lost it. And this is happening all over the church world. Look at the music. Look at the music. The Bible condemns using music as a way to excite people emotionally and make them think they're having a religious experience. You can get in the aisles of these churches today like a zombie and dance yourself into mental oblivion and think you're having a religious experience when all you're having is an emotional experience. I think about the church called Elevation. I mean, that's not a church. That's a rock and roll club. And we got rock and roll holiness. We got rock and roll Pentecostals. We got rock and roll Baptists. We got rock and roll everything today in the church world. And it's all amazing to me. It's so insane. But let me show you a picture of it. It's very clear. Let's go to Revelation 17, and you can see it clearly. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore. The great whore that sitteth upon many waters. The church called a great whore. Can you imagine? Well, I can see it everywhere I look in the church world. Every kind of doctrine you can imagine. I'm going to start naming these bad doctrines in a moment. I want you to ask your questions, okay? Let me hear from you. Grab your phone right now, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588, and then 1-800-338-7884. Oh, I gave that backwards. 704-391-0588, that's the local. 1-800 is toll-free, 1-800-338-7884. I think I gave that wrong, but I don't know for sure. You're going to be patient with me as I get older, are you? I want to know if everybody out there is going to be patient with me. You're going to have to be, because sometimes, you know, well, that's just how it is. All right, let's go back. Revelation 17:1. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, come, I want to show you the great whore sitting upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now, the true church today, I mean the false church today. Why did I get the word true? The false church today is making the world drunk with fornication. Now, I'm not talking about sexual fornication. I'm talking about biblical fornication. I'm talking about moral fornication. I'm talking about theological fornication. I'm talking about every kind of idea, every kind of insane thought, every kind of conduct. I mean, the church is like a smorgasbord of 1,000 ideas, and people go crazy. They get all caught up in the emotionalism of them, and they leave the purity of the Holy Scripture and just go off into a tangent. Well, he goes on to say about this church, and he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a vision. A woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of the names of blasphemies, having seven heads and 10 horns. Now, that's the universal of the church. The church is a worldwide, this false church, a worldwide harlot woman. All over the world, the Catholics are blending together with the Hindus and with the Muslims and with the Pentecostals and with the Baptists and with all every kind of religion you can name it are coming together and having meetings together. Well, some months ago, the World Council of Churches went to my former headquarters of my former church and had a big meeting on the campus of Lee College and were introducing all of these new preachers and these young people coming along how to be part of this massive World Council of Churches and bringing all the church world together. They go to Rome and you know. And hobnob with the Pope, and he's already now accepting homosexuals as being being saved people who live their homosexual life within the church, within the confines and acceptance of the church. You've got Methodists, Presbyterians, name any of them now that's not ordaining sodomites to preach and pastor in their churches. Imagine churches ordaining sodomites to be the pastor. Lesbians and homosexuals and bring them right in and they run the church and they pastor the church and they're in the headquarters and some of them over the headquarters. You know, what is going on? Well, it's very simple. You've got a one world church coming together and the saints of God are going to be gone in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And once we're gone and the Antichrist takes over, he's going to take this church and he's going to love them. He's going to just play. He's going to hobnob with them and they're going to become one with him. And it's going to be a one world church and a one world government and a one world economy and a one world judgment system. It's all going to be one world. You talk about hell on earth. You have seen nothing yet. If you wonder why they hate Donald Trump with such a hatred all over the liberal communities of America, here it is. This is it. It is what's happening in the church world that is also happening in the political world, also in the financial world, also in the economic world. It's all happening, getting ready for a one world church, and I'm getting ready to leave. How many want to go? How many want to go with me? How many are ready to just get out of here and take off? To the glorious place of the marriage supper. We're going to the marriage supper. Did you know that? The Lord Jesus is going to have a bride. Thank God for godly women who are brides to their pastor husbands. My wife and I pastored. Listen, we pastored together 60 years. I went to Tabor City, the little church of God in Tabor City. I believe it was on Keith Street. I think I'm right. Keith Street. That sounds right. Anyhow, if it's not, it won't make any difference. People there will know. But went there in September of 1957. 1957, and my Juanita right beside me. We pastored 60 years. And of course, she made it into September, which gave her a celebration of those 60 years. She went on to be with Jesus on the 10th of September. If you're hearing me and you don't know what has happened, and I'm just still grieving myself to death. You see, we did so many things together, but the one thing we never did together was get ready to not be together. We didn't get things ready for me to be without her. And I'm having struggle with that. But just give me patience. I'll make it. Now, and I want to talk about doctrines now. I want you on the phone. Listen, you need to be on the phone. You need to be asking me questions. You need to be helping me think now. I want so badly that we get these doctrines straight out there and people know about these false doctrines that are everywhere. It is sad what's going on with these people. No doctrines that I know, emails that I can see. I'm very anxious to start getting emails again, and I'm trying. I'm coming here to see, but I don't find any. Okay, let me see here. No, don't see anything. All right, let me hear from you. I'm not going to worry about it. If you're not going to send me an email, it's okay. But I want to hear from you. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Now, doctrines. What, I don't have but much time here, time's flying. What are the doctrines that you see? What are the false doctrines that you see? I want everybody out there, if you think of a doctrine that you're hearing, then you know it's not biblical. Or you don't know, but you think maybe it's not. Then grab your phone. I want to try to help you. We'll go to the scripture. We'll make sure the Bible tells us what to say and what not to say. I'm not a know-it-all. Hey, I'm excited about preaching in the morning. Don't you miss being at Paul Creek tomorrow. Will you? Paul Creek, 5110 Tuckasegee Road. I want you to hear the word of God from an old timer that will preach you the book. And I promise you the Holy Ghost will anoint me. I stay close to him and he will anoint me. And you will be blessed. And our evening service at 6, but the morning service is at 10:50. That's 10 minutes till 11. 10 minutes till 11, and if God helps us, and you may want to help us, we're fixing to put a new sign out front. It's going to be a really nice electronic sign that can really communicate to this whole community what we are about, what we're doing, and if you'd like to help me with that, you just call and give them a pledge. It's going to cost about $20,000, $25,000, and so if you want to give $1,000 or $2,000 or $10,000, you call right quickly, okay, and talk to our ladies, because we are still paying for the building. So we're still tight. We're still having to be careful. I haven't had a salary in several years, and I'm not worried about that. I have Social Security. My house is paid for. I'll make it. I just want God's work to prosper, and I want the kingdom to go, and I want to be a blessing to foreign missions. I want to help, you know, build another school down in Haiti, and I just want to do those kind of things. That's where my life is, and I want you to get the same kind of thing for your life. Give yourself to the kingdom, okay? So make sure you're here tomorrow, okay? Make sure you come. And now make sure you call and be a part of my partnership family. I need about another 1,000 partners who will give a monthly donation to this ministry. So right now, call. Right now, call. Quit sitting on your huffs and not doing anything to help us. And carry the burden with me. Carry the burden with me. I'm serious. Carry the burden with me. The coming of the Lord's at the door. And you need to put everything you got in the kingdom of God. Quit living high on the hog and you're spending money wildly and going on big fancy vacations and always having fun. Have something, do something that will build the kingdom. Get ready for the coming of the Lord. Are you listening to me? All right. Sorry about that. I get off on these tangents and here I go. Let's talk about doctrines. What are some of the bad doctrines today in the church? Now, I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about the church that represents 7 golden candlesticks. I'm talking about men of God who are held like stars in the hands of the King. The Lord loves his preachers. I'm telling you, Jesus loves men of God. Jesus loves great preacher men and great godly women who stand with the preacher men. Jesus loves them. I mean, his grace and his mercy toward his ministers is great. He's been so good to me, I don't even deserve it. I know I'm crying myself silly over my sweetheart, but I loved her with all my heart. You go to Facebook when this program is over. You look at those two pictures of my Juanita and I at our cake cutting on June the 5th, 1955. Can you believe that? June the 5th, 1955. What a day that was. What a day that was. And we were two happy little young people. I was 19 and she was 20. On the date of that picture. And I hope you'll go. That's on Facebook now. You don't go till the program is over. Let's talk about doctrines now. What are some of the bad doctrines? The first one that I'm always troubled about is the forsakening of the pre-trib rapture. The people who no longer are looking for Jesus to come. They're looking for an Antichrist. They're looking for a one world church. They're looking for the church to set up a kingdom on this earth. They're looking for stuff that is so insane and so far from the Bible until I don't know how to understand these people. I am amazed at them. Jesus is coming before the 7-year tribulation period. His bride is going to ascend up into the sky. We're going to be up there in heaven having a marriage supper, 7-year supper. And then we're going to mount white stallions, white horses, and he's going to lead on a great white stallion at the front of the great army. And we're going to march right back down to this earth. We're going to put the Antichrist where he needs to be. We're going to put him in the bottom, in the lake of fire. We're going to put the false prophet in the lake of fire. And then we're going to put the devil in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And we're going to have a kingdom on this earth. A kingdom of Jesus Christ and righteousness right here on this earth. Now that's the pre-trib view. And it's the biblical view. And it's right. It's right. I know there's many forsaking it, but they're forsaking everything else also. They're going after all kinds of craziness. They're in all kinds of crazy music. You get in this crazy music, it won't be long until you'll be in crazy doctrine. That's just the way it is. Now, the phones are open. I would thought they would rung off the hook. Where are you at calling me? I want you to ask your question that you have on your mind. Will you grab the phone? All right, now let's spend these last 12 minutes, 13 minutes, me answering your questions, okay? Ask me whatever doctrine you want to ask, okay? I'm looking for you right now to call me. I need you to call now. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. So, pre-trib doctrine, that's going down. And then replacement theology. Do you know what replacement theology is? That's the doctrine that we have replaced Israel. That the Jewish people don't have a prophetic future. That we have took over their future. That they're just, you know, they're off the deep end. And they don't have a future, prophetically. Well, that's another terrible doctrine. Almost everybody that comes against the pre-trib doctrine comes then and becomes a replacement theological thinker. They just believe we've replaced Israel. Israel is God's people. Jesus is soon going to turn to the Jewish people and they're going to be saved, every last one of them. Their future is bright with excitement and joy, and you don't ever confuse the church and Israel. We are two separate entities. We are both His very deep love. He cares about us. He cares about them, but it's distinctly different. And they have a glorious future. They will rule the country of Abraham's promise for 1,000 years. And Jerusalem will become the greatest city on the face of this earth. Are you hearing me? Oh! I get so excited. I know you think I'm crazy. Okay. Limited atonement. That's number three. Now remember, doctrines against the pre-trib rapture. Number two, the false doctrine that we've replaced Israel. That Israel no longer has a place in God's economy, God's family, God's prophetic future. Number three, limited atonement. That God only saves a limited number that He has pre-chosen, and you can't do anything to change it. You can cry and pray and beg God for hours to save you, but if you're not chosen, you're just going to go to hell. Now, that's a terrible doctrine. If that doctrine was true, we wouldn't even need the devil. That's something that Wesley, John Wesley said, that if limited atonement was true, we wouldn't even need the devil. Made Whitefield so angry when he said that. Well, that's Whitefield's fault. You know, he ought not went after that false doctrine of limited atonement. He will save anybody out there that will call on him. If you don't want him, okay, he'll let you go to hell. But you'll have to cross that bridge on your own. You'll have to reject him. You'll have to say no to him. You'll have to deny his call upon your heart. You'll have to refuse to be born again and washed in the blood. He will not send you to hell because he has chosen to send you to hell. He will send you to hell because you have chosen to go to hell. And you rejected him and turned from him. Okay? You hear that? Then number four. Once in grace, always in grace. Now that's another terrible doctrine. Once saved, always saved. Once Jesus has come into your heart, you can live like the devil. But you can't change the fact that Jesus is in your heart. Well, that's a terrible doctrine. And I want you to know, friend, you will pay for your sins whether you were once saved or not once saved. And if you were once saved and you backslide and you refuse to repent and come back to Christ, you're going to spend eternity in hell. And you better get that in your head and not allow yourself to be lost because of some old false doctrine that somebody has taught you. Now, don't get angry with me. I'm your friend. If you're saved, you're saved. You don't have to worry about it. Somebody says, well, I believe in eternal security, but I know I'm saved. Well, if you know you're saved, you're going to go to heaven. But if you think you know you're not saved, but you're believing in something you used to have, then you're going to be in trouble, and it's going to be because you believed in the wrong thing, okay? I'm waiting for another call, 704-391. I got 9 minutes, and I want to answer your Bible question. What doctrine do you hear that's troubling you? What doctrine do you hear that you're concerned about? How about your church music? Are you seeing something happening in that's troubling you? Well, let's talk about it. Are you seeing something happening in the attitude of your minister and his desire to make big money and his worldly life? I mean, are you concerned about those things? Friend, those things are important, and you need to understand them, and you need to get yourself ready to meet the Lord. All right. The love songs they're singing in churches instead of gospel songs, instead of biblical songs. Singing ought to be so biblical, nobody will ever doubt it. And then demonstrations of all kind of activity. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Pastor Chambers.
Yes.
This is Beverly. First of all, I want to tell you how sorry I am about your wife. I just heard about it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have cried my eyeballs out.
Oh, I'm just so sorry.
I loved her. You know, I've read about people through the years that love their wives so intently that they just couldn't survive after their wife was gone. Well, I will survive because I've got Jesus and because I'm full of the Holy Ghost. But if I didn't have Jesus, I wouldn't want to survive.
No.
I love the ground that little sweetheart walked on, and she was a darling. And you need to go see the pictures on Facebook of she and I at the wedding cake cutting in 1955.
That was a great picture.
Did you see those pictures?
Yes, I did.
Did you see the look on her face?
Yes. Yes.
She loved me, and I loved her, and it never, never even waned. Our love never got less. It always got stronger and stronger and stronger.
And that's the way it should be. Just like
I'll tell you something that I don't know. Some people may think this is something I shouldn't tell. I've never kissed another woman in my life but my wife.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Just so beautiful.
And that's where it ought to be. I never had any romance experiences with young girls before I met her. I had two or three running after me, but I ran faster than they could run and got away from them. And then I had to run for her, and I ran faster than she could run, and so I caught her, you know. And it was just how it was. And when we both fell in love, we fell head over heels. I mean, upside down. We were just in love.
I'm so glad you have all those wonderful memories.
Why don't all men love their wife like that?
Yes, they should.
You know, love your wife even as Christ loved the church.
Yes.
That's the Bible.
Yes.
And that's part of my sermon. I'm glad I'm on this subject today because it all fits for me to tell people how much I love my little sweetheart.
Yes.
I probably will never quit talking about her. I wouldn't know how. I'm trying to lessen and lessen it, and I'm not getting very far with it. And if somebody don't like it, then cut your radio off. You know, that's all I know to tell you is because you need to love your wife like I'm trying to show people. I'm thinking about a book on a love affair that would not end.
That would be good, I think. I think that would be great.
Okay. Now, what's your question?
A lot of marriages out there, even people that are married, they need to know that they can have that kind of love in their marriage.
Well, it's God's will. And if you don't know how to do it, ask God to help you. I mean, I never did have to ask God to help me with that one. It took me over with such overwhelming. I never had to ask him. And wherever I went, I've got a new picture that I'll have up this week. I just got it redone. I carried it in my billfold for 62 years. It was a picture of my Juanita, Easter Sunday before we were married in 55. And I got the picture. I can't show it to anybody. You wouldn't see it. But I've had it redone. And it's now, beautiful. A picture of her as my sweetheart before we were married.
Now, that would be great.
I know. I can't wait to show it.
That'd be wonderful.
God bless you.
Thank you. Can I ask a question?
Yes, you sure can.
I called, we're talking about doctrine, and I have family members that have gotten involved in the new apostolic reformation. They started out, they went to Rick Joyner's school.
Oh, man.
And then their children went out to Bethel out in California and got involved in all that foolishness. But, when I say anything to the family about what they've gotten involved in, they get angry with me because they say, well, they're serving as missionaries in Africa. They've started orphanages and they're
defiling those people in Africa. So hoopla. All they're doing is spreading their false doctrine.
They're spreading their false doctrine, but something that came out, I went to a pre-trib conference last weekend up in Minnesota, and something that came out that might be interesting for you and your listeners is you see a lot of these movements get involved in what they call social justice. I mean, yes, they are doing some good work.
Yes,
but
yes.
Doing that gives them opportunity, like you said, to spread their false gospel.
Yeah, absolutely. Almost always a false doctrine will major them in social activity to lend legitimacy to their false doctrine.
Right.
That's the way they lend legitimacy. And that's the devil's idea. See, the devil puts that in their mind and fills them with this social idea to give legitimacy to his doctrine that he's pouring through them. And they don't come any worse than Rick Joyner. He hates the pre-trib rapture with a passion. I told him to his face that he was full of devils. And the first time I read material that Rick Joyner had wrote, I immediately felt the demon spirits. And I said, I don't know that man, but I know one thing. What he's got in that article is from the devil, because I felt the spirit tell me. I mean, I immediately felt discernment of the Holy Ghost.
Well, see, that's what I'm feeling with family members.
And you've got to tell them, even though they get mad.
I still should tell them.
Yes, ma'am. Take this Bible and prove the pre-trib rapture to them. Get involved in some doctrines that you can show them how far off their doctrines are. I'll be glad to help you, dear lady. You've got to help your family or they're going to go to hell.
That was another question. If you get into, they say they love the Lord. They say they're saved. But if they're into false doctrine, are they really going to go to heaven?
If they were saved, the Holy Spirit would say the same to them he's saying to you.
That's what I thought.
The Holy Spirit will discern false doctrine. My sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. Read St. John chapter 10.
Yes, I just read that.
Yeah, they will lose their soul. They will lose their soul. Because their doctrine is damnable. And if they'd just never been born again. They've got religion. And we've got a world full of people who've got religion, but who've never been born again.
Yes. Okay, well, that was been good talking to you, and thank you for...
Oh, I love you in the Lord, and God bless you, and thank you for calling. Praise the Lord. Well, folks out there, listen to me. We are on the verge of the coming of the Lord. It is even at the door. I don't know whether, if you're not ready, please get ready. Please get ready. I got to go here. My time is passing. Got about 45 seconds. I want to hear from you now. Call the ladies and make your contributions to help us with this ministry. We depend on you. We're not a money tank over here. We struggle week by week, but we need your help. Got a great school, great church. Be in church in the morning. Love will meet you at the door. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe love will meet you at the door. And I want you to be here. I love you. Jesus is coming any moment now, any time now. The trumpet is about to sound. And I love you. You know I love you. Don't miss next week. We're going to stay in the book of Revelation. We're going to stay in the book of Revelation.
Some good deed while I live. Let my life be a light shining out through the night. May I help struggling ones to the fold. Spreading cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Let my life be a light to some soul. Give me wisdom and power every day, every hour. Let me drink from the fountain above. Guide my footsteps aright through the dark, stormy night. Give me peace, give me joy, give me love. Oh, let my life be a light shining out through the night. May I help struggling ones to the fold. Spreading cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Let my life be a light to some soul. Give me souls for my hire. Let my life be on fire. Shining out to the world as a guide. Guide my friend. Sinking now with no hope that in heaven we shall ever abide. Oh, let my life be a light shining out through the night. May I help struggling ones to the fold. Spreading cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Let my life be a light to some soul. Struggling ones to the fold, spreading cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Let my life be a light to some soul. Give me souls for my hire. Let my life be on fire, shining out to the world as a guide. Help me rescue someone sinking now with no hope that in heaven